your non-stop entertainment radio.
This is the doing of the Lord. My eyes have seen the goodness of the Lord. I can't explain His mercies every day. Testimonies all around. This is the doing of the Lord.
This is the doing of the Lord. My eyes have seen the goodness of the Lord. I can't explain His mercies every day. Testimonies all around. This is the doing of the Lord.
How can I explain the miracles I see? How can I explain the plenty, plenty grace? Nobody can tell me, no one can convince me otherwise. All I know,
this is the doing of the Lord.
He has changed my story, given me a new song.
Welcome to Starbright. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let us pray. Father, my God, we just thank you. We praise you, we worship you, we adore you. There is none like thee, O Lord. Who can compare to thee? When we think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done, our very soul, our very being shouts hallelujah, praise God for saving us. Father, my God, at this season, Lord, we remember all that you have brought us through this 2025. Father, oh my God, it is indeed the doing of the Lord. When we felt lost, you, O Lord, found us and gave us direction. When we felt hopeless, you filled us with hope. When we felt that it was over, you said you had just begun. Father, my God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Indeed is the doing of the Lord. Father, my God, yes, you are doing, and no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. Father, my God, even our hearts cannot conceive and perceive what you are doing, Father, my God, because you are doing it all by yourself. We are truly grateful. We are truly grateful for everything. We're truly grateful for all that you've done, Father, my God, all that you're doing, all that you have to do. We're truly grateful, Father, my God, for your mercies on you every morning. Father, my God, though things may even appear upside down, Father, my God, you are turning it your direction, your way, in the name of Jesus. We choose to believe you and not what we see, not what our natural senses are saying, but Lord, what you are saying, what you are doing. Father, my God, tune our ears to hear you. Tune our eyes to see you. Tune all our senses to you. Lord Jesus, Jesus, in your mercy, in your mercy, in your mercy, help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, King of kings. Help us, O Lord, Lord of lords, help us. We are grateful. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful, Father, my God, because you have given us many reasons to praise you. We praise you because you came. We praise you that we woke up this morning. We praise you, Father, my God, that you have kept us through this day. Father, my God, Lord Jesus, we look to you. We will not be overwhelmed. The world, oh Lord, wants to overwhelm us, and situation and circumstance want to overwhelm us, but we refuse because we look to you and we will not be overwhelmed. Father, my God, indeed is the doing of the Lord. Indeed is the doing of the Lord. Indeed, everything is a doing of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Father, my God, we thank you. King of kings, we praise you. Even when we don't understand, you are giving us clarity. Even when we don't understand, you are giving us hope. Father, my God, that which you are doing, we're not running from. We are not running from, in the name of Jesus. Even when there's so many voices telling us contrary, oh, trying to dissuade us, Lord Jesus, we choose to run the direction that the word you have given us, Father, my God. Lord Jesus, 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 your help is what we need. Your help is what we need. Father, my God, your courage is what we need. Oh, Lord Jesus, those that are feeling hopeless, fill them with your hope. Those that are feeling helpless, fill them with your help. Those that are feeling lost and confused, fill them with direction, because it's your wisdom that's profitable to direct. Those that, Father, my God, are feeling a lack of satisfaction because of one thing or the other, or feel that they're not being filled, fill them, fill them, fill them, because you are our source. Help us not to look at human beings, because they can only fill so much, because you are our source. You are our source. And as Pastor said, as much as we are expecting of you, as much as our container we bring to you, that is how much we're going to get. Lord Jesus, help us to tap into you. We don't want to go with a spoon of container. Oh, that will not survive us. But help us to tap into you so that you, oh Lord, will forever, your word, everything will forever flow and refresh us. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. We look to you, Daddy. We look to you, Daddy. We look to you, Daddy. Ah, King of kings, we look to you. Hey, Jesus, we look to you. Father, my God, we're not going to look at, oh, this is how it's been done before, because, Lord Jesus, you are doing a new thing. We're not looking at that's how it's been done, because you are doing it. New thing. You have set things in place and in purpose, Father, my God. We're not going to be looking at the past, but Lord, run into that which, even walk, even crawl, but so long we're moving forward into that which you have preordained. Father, my God, we thank you, Daddy. We praise you, Jesus. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Want to welcome Reverend Tracy to the program.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so very much. We've been looking at faith for quite a few weeks, and it was a continuation from the seminar that we had, and which we thank God for. It was, you know, the faith in this season, the required faith that we need in this season. It's not, and like, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen. We know that. But when you're in the middle of believing for something you're hoping for, and there's no evidence that it's going to happen, that's when we need to really tap into the Lord to know that, Lord, how is this going to manifest? How are we going to get the physical manifestation? Now, we're looking at Luke 1. We're going to go to verse 5. Now, this is a story of, and we looked at it previously, the birth of John. Now, they had foretold about John. One crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. That had been foretold beforehand. Mm-hmm. And God sent forth his word. And we know God sends forth his word and it heals. But he sends forth his word to do something. His word creates. You know, if you look at Genesis, he sent forth the word, let there be, and there was. Let there be, and it was. Now, we don't know. You know, we said it's one day, but, you know, we don't literally know if it's the day as we know now. Okay, so, you know, he said, let there be light, and there was. We don't know, and he talks about it like it happened in a day, but the day that we know is not the day that was, okay? Because it also says another scripture, one day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. So it's a measure. So God speaks and it send, he sends forth his, and he does something. So when we hear God speaking, it has to do something. You know, when a human person, you know, I'll say a human being talks, it doesn't necessarily do anything. He's talking, but it doesn't necessarily. But when we talk with it in the authority of Jesus, it's, you know, because we're children of God, it has the ability to do. That's why we have to be careful when we come to that scripture. There's life and death in the tongue. Those who love it eat its fruit. So just trying to connect that there is a lot, because even when we speak, we have to be careful what we say, because there's a fruit that's going to come. That word is a seed. So when God said, let there be light, let the waters, let, it says in Genesis, it created something. Now, we're looking at Luke, because in, I believe it's Isaiah, it's foretold. Isaiah is a very powerful book, you know. In Isaiah, the whole chapters of Isaiah is really powerful, because it foretells of some things that were to come, and reiterates and gives explanation, a deeper explanation of what was going to happen. Now, we also see that when God spoke to Abraham, you know, Abraham is my favorite, you know. So when he spoke to Abraham, he said about the 400 years of silence. And I just want, I'm saying these things to know that sometimes when we hear God speaking, because we don't see something, we then, I don't want to say dismiss, but our faith level, maybe thermometer, goes cold. Okay, we're fine, we're hearing, yeah, and then when we don't see it happening, we go cold. Now, I talk specifically about the 400 years of silence because God has said that, but Abraham never saw it. But it's credited to him as righteousness because he believed. So God spoke about all these things without him seeing, but he believed. And we can see that Joseph believed, because it says when he was nearing dying, he said, look, he said to the people, look. And sometimes I've said this before, but at the height of the reign, you know, of Joseph, he was dying as second to Pharaoh. He wasn't demoted. There's no thing that, oh, he was demoted, or he went quietly in one corner. So they'll have remembered him for a long time. Like if, like people remember, let me look at royalty, the queen. You know, people are going to remember the queen for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know. So David would have been, not Joseph would have been remembered for a long time. And he talked about that, and he said at the height of his reign that, look, when God delivers you, take my bones with you. Take my bones. So he realized that it was going to, and they did all the embalming, they did all these kind of things. He realized his body was going to have decayed to the point that it was only bones. He said, take my bones, because he wanted to enter the promise, that he knew he was only part of the journey. So all these things, and I want us to get this, the story, you know, the children are doing the plays and everything. The story of John and Jesus coming was foretold, and it took faith for it to come into the reality. And it says in Luke 1 verse 5, because everything needs faith and someone stepping into it. So during the reign of King Herod the Great of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah who served in the temple as part of the priestly order of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth, who also from a family of priests and was a descendant of Aaron, they were both righteous before God, living virtuously and following the commandments of the Lord blamelessly. But they were childless since Elizabeth was barren, and now they both were quite old. And this is important because it gives us the background. But one thing, some of the things I want us to pick out from here is that it says they were blameless. Yeah. It said they were living virtuously and following the commandments. Now if, and sometimes we can't imagine it, but now if someone can choose to have a child or not. No, someone can say, it's my choice not to have a child. Even if they had problems and they wanted a child and they didn't have, they could say, it was my choice, I didn't want a child. And nobody's going to question it. In those days, you didn't even consider it being your choice not to have a child. For you to then say, it's my choice not, you didn't consider it. It was like expected that, I'm sure, because I'm sure people were counting the months and years for her, like she didn't know she was getting older. Because in the side of the village, you know, there's some people that will, I remember that when I was getting married to Pastor, we were hoping nobody was going to bring at the wedding baby bath or baby clothes, because there's an expectation that 9 months, and some people will count for you, they would be a child. In fact, some people will be looking at you and looking at you like, what's not going on? You know, the pressure was real. And I wasn't even around in those. I can only imagine the pressure. And then to be living virtuously and following the commands and blameless. If someone...
Imagine the gossip.
And then you are now living virtuously and following the commands.
Yeah.
Ooh, are they really?
Are they really?
Was she really? Was she really a virgin? Because maybe she wasn't. Because, you know... And oh, really? Really? What did they say? Mm-hmm. What did they say? I heard a rumor. You know that... Mm-mm. And some people have even told her, come to her face and said, because people are people. People have not changed from being human beings.
That's so true.
Even now, some people will go to your face. I remember, nothing new. I remember, God bless, somebody asking me a question. Ah, is there no child yet? I didn't know how to answer the question. Because it was like a pain to me. And I'm there thinking, you are just digging your knife in. And it was like, so Holy Spirit kept me on. Holy Spirit just got me to say, have you been praying? And they looked like guilty. Well, no. And I said, maybe God is waiting for your own specific prayers to help. And I left. I don't even know how I was that quick-witted. But I thought, wow. So imagine in those days.
But then as soon as you've had one, it's straight away, oh, when you have another.
Yeah.
So you can't win.
Can't
so
win. Imagine, but imagine not yeah. not even having one.
And getting to that age when she thinks, that's it, it's done. It's a done deal. Nothing else is going to happen.
And it doesn't say for it that they must have had great faith. Because they were living virtuously. Because many times when something doesn't happen the way we expect it, mm-hmm. what tends to happen? Let's be honest. Let's shame the devil. God. God.
Yeah.
Bitterness can come in. Anger, resentment, doubt. Even if it was just stopped at doubt, you may now... start putting doubt in other people to say, well, I don't know. Oh, I'm believing God. Well, I don't know. I've been believing God and it's not happened. So, and then before you know it, a person now starts confessing. And then the life and death of the tongue, the enemy just captures it.
Yeah.
So we have to see that it must have been great faith to keep that level of dedication. Now this is what I like from verse 8. One day Zachariah's priestly order was on duty and he was serving as a priest, so it was like a rotation. He was chosen by the casting of lots according to the custom of the priesthood. So the honor fell upon Zachariah to enter the holy place and burn incense before the Lord.
I've literally just had a download.
Okay.
So, hold on to that thought. Sorry. Just then, it was the lot.
Yeah.
But God already knew and he had the angel lined up.
Yeah.
How amazing is that? Right there.
Amazing. God, even though they felt they were drawing. Now in those days, you know, you want to go into the holy place, but some people didn't stay alive in the holy place because they made errors. You know, now some of us, the way we carry ourselves to church, God help us. Oof. We thank God of Jesus. I thank God of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank God of Jesus, because grace and mercy. Sometimes in those days, if you enter, the way some people enter in church, including myself, I include myself. In those days, you will have been flicked off the face of the earth.
Yep.
Because grace and mercy had not arrived. Where God's grace and mercy, just Jesus's face will pop so that you won't be flicked. So they used to tie a string and bells and things so that bells, they can hear when the person is moving. When it got quiet, they would tug. If the person didn't move, they would drag them out. You did an error there. We don't know. And then they will do maybe a sacrifice for God to forgive so that the next person could come in. So even though it was an honor, it was also like, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to make a mistake.
Am I coming back out?
I don't want to make a mistake. I don't. That's why I think another reason why they did. So it took a lot of faith.
Mm.
Let's look at this. It took a lot of faith to enter in. You were glad to be chosen, but it took a lot of faith that you were going to do things. Because we make genuine mistakes. Let's call it spending. Make genuine mistakes. So, but that faith that you are going to remember the order and the structure and what to do. And so the honor fell upon Zechariah to enter the holy place and burn incense before. A large crowd of worshippers had gathered to pray outside the temple. I feel some of them might have been praying that he would come out alive. I'm just saying. Just saying. Oh Lord, in your mercy. Outside the temple at the hour when incense was being offered. All at once, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing just at the right side of the altar of incense. Zechariah was startled and overwhelmed with fear. You're in the most holy place and fear enters. Wow. Because I suppose many times we're going and they believed God for a word, they believed God for presence, they believed God. But for you to actually then now see, it would have been like amazing. But it's still fearful because, again, you don't want to do another wrong thing. And that angel, it might even be that he might have thought it was an angel come to just, you know, end him. Let's call a spade a spade. But the angel reassured him because the angel picked up that said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God is showing grace to you. For I have come to tell you that your prayer for a child has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. His birth will bring you much joy and gladness. Many will rejoice because of him, and he will be one of the great ones in the sight of God. Amen. He will drink no wine, and it goes on. But he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even while still.
Before his birth. Wow.
People, the Holy Spirit came upon. But John was going to be filled.
Mm.
You know, we're filled. So John was going to be, he was the first to be filled.
Amen.
And so that was unusual. And it, go on.
It's just that, it's everything that God's doing. When when we read it and really break it down, it's the preparing, it's everything's preparation.
Yeah,
everything, and we read it and just flip over it and just go, oh yeah, diddle diddle diddle. But when you really, really break it down, like, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. He was prepared. He was ready. It's incredible.
So we have to look at it that our faith needs to know that everything before the physical manifestation is the preparation.
Yeah.
For the promise, for our purpose, you know,
all for purpose.
It's all for the purpose. Sometimes we just, you know, what is the purpose? Sometimes we are fighting something that is not our purpose, and it's become a distraction.
Yep.
You know, purpose. What is your purpose? There's a blessing in your purpose. There's it's not easy. There's not, but there is a grace. There's inspiration.
There's joy. You know,
there's a strength. There's so much that comes in the purpose. What is your purpose? May the Lord give you faith for that. Because the purpose was for him to be, you know, at that place, at that time, when Elizabeth was old. So even when the world has said, you know, this is the end for you, you cannot this, you cannot do that, you know, God's time frame is not constrained by our earthly body. It's not, but we have to have the faith to believe. Now, I want some of us to actually be like Abraham, go to God and say, but will my servant inherit? You know, your own version from what you're believing. Is it going to be? Because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Sometimes it just looks like it's not going to happen, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. We have to have the faith and ask God, what's the purpose? Now, okay, it might be easier said. Well, it's not might be. It is easier said than done. Because there's some things I'm believing God for, and everything is saying something different. But I have to get myself into that place that, God, if it's your will, it'll work out. If it be your will, it'll work out. Just if it be your will, it will work out. I don't know how from where I'm standing, but it'll work out. Now, I'm sure if a year previous they'd said to Zachariah and that, oh, you're going to meet an angel and they're going to announce this. As we can see what happened to Zachariah, you know, and Reverend is going to read what happened. Maybe it wouldn't have ended up that way, because Zachariah's approach, we need to learn and know how that approach, because, you know.
It's good. Going back to what you said about our words as well, yeah. What we say, you know, there's a beautiful saying that's less said soon is mended.
Yeah.
You know, so say nothing if you don't really know what to say. You don't have to fill the chair. You don't have to fill it. You don't have to fill that space.
Yeah.
And that's a real lesson for us all. So from verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, how can I know this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years.
I wonder if he thought the angel was going to say, hey, oh wow, I didn't know that. In fact,
so the other one comes in, who's younger?
In fact, you are so right. It's the wrong Zachariah.
My bad.
The wrong Zachariah. In fact, the wrong one. But we do that. We ourselves do that.
We do that. Then the angel said, I love this. He's really showing his authority. I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. And now, since you didn't believe what I said, you won't be able to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly come true at the proper time.
Now,
I've got so much more around in my head right now. The fact that the man can't speak now for 9 months.
Well, it could have even been longer, because it doesn't tell us whether.
No,
if that at that instant,
yeah, that moment, yeah.
That, you know, God did a holy transaction, or whether it took him working in faith, we don't need to say specifics, working in faith, and then it was a year later, we don't know. But what we know is that his words were told to be none. That this you're speaking, because you're a child of God, you may say something and actually spoil the plan of God. Might start creating confusion. So he had to learn how to write some things, and there was only so much he could probably write at, because he realized himself that when he opened his mouth and nothing, I've offended God, maybe I should not say too much, you know, maybe I should just keep quiet here. But that in of itself tells us that, you know, we don't need to tell the Lord that we're too old. We don't need to tell the Lord that we're too young. We don't need to tell the Lord our physical things. We need to answer in a different way. But still, he didn't say that he communicated. So even though I said he might have had to write things down, he may have used this time to ponder on the Lord and his encounter, and actually ponder, because he'll have come out not being able to speak. They will have sensed that he encountered the present holy being, but won't have had specifics, and may have started looking at his wife in wonder and amazement. But there will have been a strength that will have had to come upon her to carry and give birth, because they didn't do C-section, you know. After a certain age, in many places, they encourage women to do C-section, okay, because they control a lot of things. But they didn't do things like that. So that in of itself, I want to even try and imagine what Elizabeth, confused and not confused, she might have felt when the first time she figured there was something going on. Because it was said she was old. Zachariah told her she was old, even if we didn't, you know. So we can assume that she might have been perimenopausal or menopausal. And so when she started feeling a bit different, she might have found a confidant to find, what is this I'm feeling? She might have gone to the doctors, you know, because they had physicians, you know, because, correct me if I'm wrong, Luke was a physician, wasn't he?
Physician, yeah.
So, and they'll have told her, it seemed likely that you are pregnant, you know, and she might have put two together to figure out that maybe that's why her husband was not able to speak. Maybe the Lord had said something, you know. And you can imagine, and I want us to pick, because sometimes we just look at these things, as Reverend Tracy said, we read these things and flick to the next chapter, read these things. But these are human beings.
It's interesting to know that the term that that Zachariah would have been in the temple would have been for one whole week. That's the term that they would have spent in the, and then he would have gone home after that. So he'd have been in the temple, not been able to speak, pondering over everything, and then when he gets home, he's then got to try and explain to Elizabeth,
or maybe not,
well, we don't know, do we?
Because they didn't have pen and paper.
No, they had chalk.
Yeah, but how many people had those kind of things in their homes? Because they went to the scribe to scribe thing.
Yeah.
And how it, you know, and I know we're looking at these fine leaders, but it must have taken great faith to even communicate. And she must have thought, you definitely, everybody would have thought, you encountered,
oh definitely,
you encountered a holy being, if not God himself.
Yeah.
Because they were used to the occasional people, you know, encountering God. They were used to that. So they would have been used to the fact that maybe encountered. Some might have dismissed it that he's just been struck, he did something wrong. Some might, and he's been struck for a time. Some might have thought, no, when he's going to speak, there's going to be something that's precious.
Yeah.
So they might have been checking, like, can he speak today? Yeah. Can he? Is there a message that God
is waiting,
you know, for?
And they would have known the Torah. So obviously, yes, they'd have remembered what happened with Moses.
Yes.
So they could have probably been thinking about that as well.
And they will have known, some of them will have remembered that it, remember I said that John was spoken about.
Mm.
So there's one coming crying in the wilderness, that's preparing right, the way for the Lord. Some might have even thought, if it fits, but it doesn't fit, is this the family? Because remember, a lot of things that were spoken about, they, it didn't quite fit. You know, when Jesus came, they thought he was going to be king like David.
Yeah.
You know, when, so they might thought it fit, but it doesn't quite fit. Because God didn't give the details that, you know, there's going to be a man called Zechariah. And no. Because even, let's call a spade and not a farming implement. Some of the details that were given already caused a lot of lives to be lost.
Yeah.
Moses, lives were lost. Jesus, lives were lost. So there was already, you know, even the anointing of David, there was a lot that happened. So even with a little information, so I want us to, as I've said those things, I want us to work on our faith. Because as I've said those things, even with the little information, there's a lot that happens.
It really is.
There's a lot, and it's not even the full picture. So even with the little information that you have,
it really, really makes you start to, it's like getting a you know, it's that thread, you start pulling on that thread and it just starts to unravel, doesn't it? And we've read these scriptures so many times, but I can really feel in my spirit right now a yearning to go deeper and learn more.
Because there's, because sometimes we, not many times, we read it and we imagine the people in these days, but I want us to really go back and almost be a fly on the wall at that time, so that we can actually capture the importance that of it, you know, because there was a lot of things that, you know, he was not supposed to have, and a lot of things that was supposed to happen, and it talks about being in seclusion.
Yeah,
you know, that, and yes, women were in seclusion at first trimester.
Yeah.
In those days. Now we just get up and go. There's a lot we could do with that.
Oh, we could really go back to doing that.
And the, a lot of that, even though we said it and it seems like, a lot of that is to make sure everything is
right. Yeah.
Right. And correct, hooks, the pregnancy hooks in place, and things stay as they, you know, there might have been a lot of things. And also, she might have stayed longer in seclusion because she might have felt a bit like, ah,
she had a lot to take in.
I'm finally pregnant. But this is no ordinary child.
No.
Because my husband went in the temple, came back, even if it's, and he's been acting strange ever since then. So there's something in this.
So he's mute. She's got gossip mongers outside in the village.
Oh. So when God is doing something, there's going to be people that want to tell you that, well, maybe it's not God. Maybe. I want you to hold on.
Please,
let your faith.
Please, let your faith arise.
And hold on. Because, as Reverend Tracy said, there's nothing new under the sun. They did it for John. They did it for Jesus. there was a lot, but in that, the Lord made a way. In it all, he makes a way.
Gosh, it's beautiful.
He makes a way. And he, you know, he does it and knits it together so beautifully. But we need faith. Because, you know, I'm sorry to say, you know, there's sometimes I wish, you know, I was muted.
Mm.
You know, I'm being honest. Sometimes I wish I was muted. But God, may the Lord encourage you to hold on and let your confession align with what he is saying. Let your actions align.
Yeah.
Some of you, you need to buy that a baby booties in faith. And to some other people, it may seem ridiculous, but do it in faith. Some of you need to buy a wedding veil in faith. Mm. Do it in faith. Nobody needs to know. It doesn't need to be announced to the four corners. We don't need it on Instagram and Facebook and all those places. Oh, look what up. No, they don't even need. You are stepping in faith. So every time you feel shame, you hold on to it and say, God, I have to wear this one day. I have to wear this one day. Father, I will wear this one day. The boot, somebody is going to be born to fill this. Somebody is going to be born to fill this. Somebody is going to be born to fill this.
Can I share a little testimony on that? So I had a beautiful friend over in Colorado, and Colorado Springs in Denver, and she did exactly that. She bought the plaid shirt. She bought the size 12 boots, you know, the real big workmen boots. She bought the jeans, and she had them hung up on her wardrobe door for 2 years.
Wow.
And every day she prayed for the man that would fit these, who would walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
And he came.
Yeah.
And she's married, and he fit them. And we're all like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And that is, God fulfills our needs.
Yeah. And it just ignites your faith. And I know time will pass. And those 2 years might seem, I've seen like, what's going on here? What's going on here? The whispers. That's why I said, just buy these things secretly. Just buy these things secretly. We don't need to announce it on Facebook, Instagram, all those things. Just buy it secretly and just have it there. If you have a prayer partner that you want to ask, by led by the Spirit, you know, that to pray, that call, then do that. And every time you feel shaken, go and touch those things. If you believe you're going to have a business, God has ministered to you and it's going to do something, have something that's going to connect to it and use it. Because sometimes we need that physical thing there just to visualize it. To help us, you know, before the worship leader came, there was a few of us in the church. We bought each other a baby something, and we prayed over it. And it was one of the things that Tosin had to wear, whether he liked it or not, he wore it. You know, someone had given me, I think it was a bib and booties. And when he came, and he was wearing that, it just encouraged me that, ah, God, even if I forget, you don't forget.
That's right.
So I want us to really let our faith arise.
Mm.
I want to let our faith arise because we need that faith. And we're looking at this story for you. And we're going to be looking at different stories, you know, history documents. Because sometimes when I say stories, I think it's almost like trivializes it. encounters with the Lord to ignite our faith to believe. For your encounter, it doesn't tell us, you know, like with Abraham and Sarah, it said this time, the angels came this time next year. It doesn't tell us that it took a year, you know, or 9 months. It doesn't give us a timeline. But we do know by Mary coming that John was about 3 to 6 months older than Jesus. That's the only time frame we have. Every other thing, I suppose, is irrelevant to the journey of faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen.
Amen.
And it's another thing, and we've spoken this about, the faith that Mary must have had, because her response was slightly different to Zachariah. But God's mercy. So even if you're responding like Zachariah and you're not become mute, let's change your confession now. So to be more like Mary, let it be unto me according to your word. You know, for someone out there, God is wants to rewrite the story.
Absolutely.
So God has been ministering to me that he wants to rewrite the story. He's rewriting your story. For someone out there, he's rewriting your story. Well, we've come to the end of the program. We were going to have a break, but our break we did not have. And we're grateful to God for the break that he has given us, because he's given us a breakthrough. Reverend Tracy, can you pray for us? Absolutely. We need prayer.
Absolutely. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you. We come to you humbly before you. And we know, Lord God, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We thank you that we have got faith to allow us to believe when others are mocking us, when others tell us not to, when others tell us to be quiet in them dark early hours of the morning. When we speak to you on our own, you know our hearts, you hear our cries and our groans and our mumbles. Lord God, you know what we are asking for. So Lord God, I just pray for every single person who's listening to this evening's message. Let your faith arise. Do not be listening to other people's opinions. If God has got something to say, he's going to say it to you. So just remember that John was a preparation before Jesus. You are being prepared for something extraordinary. Because everything that God has done is yes and amen. So we just come together tonight and just say thank you that we can read about all these incredible experiences and all that's happened, and we can use it for our own experiences and for our own faith to rise. In the mighty, precious, glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, we've come to the end of the program. And we have had a blessed and glorious time. We're going to still look at faith, but we're going to pick another one of the regarding Christmas, because it's faith that brought it into being. Amen. It's faith. So hold on and let's enjoy this journey. You know, we're not going to say Merry Christmas, but have a blessed. It's Christmas, but not Christmas. I don't know. Enjoy the season, enjoy the time, and enjoy more time with Jesus.
Amen.
Enjoy more time with Jesus. Have a blessed time. Bye for now.
Bye for now. God bless.
I feel love in the air. see joy everywhere. Red cups on everyone's eye. Colored lights all around. No doubt this is Christmas. The Savior is born to change the course of history. Now we live in constant victory. No better time to celebrate. No better time to show some love. No better time to give life's meaning. Jesus is here. This is Christmas. This is Christmas. Let's celebrate. Jesus is here. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Let's celebrate. Everyone from every tribe, every man, woman, boy and girl, let's hail the newborn king. Yeah, it is undeniable. Christmas is in the air. The news is everywhere. I can see it's up and down. Let's celebrate. Let's show some love. Let's give life meaning. Jesus is here.
Christ was born.